We're going through a series called Grow. A couple weeks ago, we talked about how the growth of a Christian starts off with just a tiny seed. The seed is the Word of God that's placed in our lives, and that could be through a family member, a Sunday school teacher, a friend, a neighbor, a pastor. It could even just be through an acquaintance. It starts off with something extremely small and it begins to grow. As we talked about the first week, God is the one who does the growth. It's through His Word, through His involvement, and through the Holy Spirit's direction that we begin to grow. That seed begins to sprout. Our understanding of the process and our responsibilities as a Christian can help us to grow. It can help to encourage growth. Just like the small seed, I have a picture up there, just like small seeds can grow big things, there's other things that grow as well. Maybe you've seen something like this. Maybe as a kid, maybe as a parent, your kids had these. You put them in water and they expand. Never seen one quite that size. And I was going to do one, have one up here, but the ones I found would only grow just a little, and I wanted it to grow like big. Balloons. Balloons are another thing that go from something little to something big. Cindy was getting worried up here. She was afraid something was going to happen. They go from something little to something big, right? Well, in the Bible, Jesus talked about this several times, things that go from little to big. There are several verses that have that concept in them, and Jesus often told parables. Parables are earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. So Jesus would tell these parables, and He would use oftentimes things that they would see around them, things that probably occurred pretty often. We don't know if the parables Jesus told were things that had actually occurred or if they were just stories that were probable that could have occurred. And Jesus gives us several of these in Mark chapter 4, verses 30 through 32. And He said, Jesus, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? So, heavenly meaning, talking about the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? Then Jesus is going to tell a parable. He says, it is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. Mark chapter 4, verses 30 and 32. Many believe that what Jesus is referencing here is actually the mustard tree. I have a picture of the small seed there, and it sprouts and grows into a much larger tree. You think of, I had up here the first week apples that I cut up, and the small seeds in an apple, and the fruit of an apple, but then you think of the tree where that fruit came from a little seed to a big blossoming tree that birds, animals can live in. In the book of Acts chapter 2, Jesus was comparing the kingdom of God. What is it like? In Acts chapter 2, there was a small band of believers who were meeting in an upper room. During the time of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon the believers there and they begin speaking in other languages. They begin telling the gospel message, the good news about Jesus Christ in other languages. Peter stands up and gives a short little sermon. If you read through Acts chapter 2, it's only a portion of Acts chapter 2. And what happened? So those who received his word, speaking about what Peter said, he said, you need to repent and be baptized. So those who received his word were baptized. And there were added to that day about 3,000, about 3,000 souls. We go from something small, something little, a band of believers meeting in an upper room in the city of Jerusalem, to the first mega church of its day, 3,000 people like that. Jesus was talking about the kingdom of God, something going from small little seed to huge and enormous. There's another parable Jesus told. It's found in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 25. It's where we're going to be today, Matthew chapter 25, and it's found in verses 14 through 30. If you have your Bibles or want to grab the ones on the back of the pew or grab your device and open it up, Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14. Jesus said, "For it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents here. I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents here. I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Things have a huge impact. The master comes and he entrusts 3 different servants with different amounts. There are things we need to recognize in this passage. First, we need to recognize everything we have is a good gift from God. Everything we have, everything we have been given is a good gift from God. That includes our finances, our money. That includes our physical property. That includes the family we have, the relationships of people we have, and that includes our abilities and our gifts and our talents. All of those things are gifts from God. In the book of Psalm, chapter 89, verse 11, the psalmist writes, "The heavens are yours. The earth also is yours. The world and all that is in it, you have founded them." Everything is God's. It's another recognition we need to make. And the second thing we must recognize is God's gifts differ from person to person. God doesn't give me the same things he gives to Jack. God doesn't give me the same things he gives to Mike. God doesn't give me the same things he gives to Sue. God's gifts differ from person to person. And that includes all of those things that I listed. God knows our abilities. God knows us intimately. In Psalm 139, David writes, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar." If you read through the rest of Psalm 139, you recognize that God knows us intimately. From the time we were formed inside our mother's wombs until the time we die, God knows us intimately. He has searched our hearts and minds, and he understands what gifts we need. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks about the spiritual gifts we're given. And he references a body, and he says, if you're a hand, you shouldn't be worried about the person that's a foot. Or the ear shouldn't say to the eye, I don't need you. Paraphrasing here. This is the RSV, the Roger Stewart version. He's saying, don't worry about what you're given, because God gives you the gifts that you have. Comparison is one of the worst things for us as believers. It's one of the most destructive habits we can have. We look and we say, well, I'm not like Steve. I'm not like Brian. But that's okay, because you're you. God made you who you are, and he's given you the gifts that he wants you to use for his kingdom. Third thing we need to recognize, we are called to be faithful over a little. We're called to be faithful over a little. Did you notice what the master said? Verse 21. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. Verse 23. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. You've been faithful over a little. I wanted to give you guys an idea, a context of what a talent was. Because when I think of a talent, I just think of a little piece, a little coin. That's not what a talent was. You see, a talent is 20 years' wages. So think of your wage. Think of what you would make in 20 years, full time. What would that look like? That's a lot of money, right? That's a talent. So I did some calculations for us. Cindy can do the math in her head if she wants, since she teaches math. She's on vacation, it's summertime. So I did the math all for her. Indiana's minimum wage is $7.25. If somebody's working full time at minimum wage, 40 hours, 52 weeks, 1 year of labor is $15,000. $80. Okay, that's kind of the minimum. One talent equals 20 years of labor. So one talent was $301,600. That's at today's minimum wage. Okay? So what does this look like for the servants? One who received five talents was about $1.5 million. The one who received two talents was $603,000. The one talent, of course, was $301,600. What am I saying here? It was a lot of money. But what was the master? What did the master say? You have been faithful over a little. You've been faithful over a little, right? But this wasn't just a quarter that he got out of his pocket and gave to them. This might seem like a lot, but the fact that God made it all. Everything is God's. That puts it in perspective that it's just a little. What God entrusts us with is just a little bit. It's all His. The psalmist writes in Psalm chapter 50, verses 9 through 12, speaking for God, he says, I will not accept a bull from your house or goats from your folds, for every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine, God says. It's just a little portion. We're called to be faithful over a little. You see, whatever God gives you, whether it's big or little or small, whatever God gives you, it's important to Him. It's important to Him, and He's entrusted you with it. This includes things like money and possessions, but not just that. I think it includes the family we're given. I think it includes the friends we have, the neighbors we live by. These are all things God has entrusted us with. Includes our abilities and talents. Everything we're given is a gift from God. He's entrusted it to us. James chapter 1 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Every good gift is from God. So, what are you doing with what God has given you? What are you doing with what God has given you? Think about that question this morning. We need to recognize everything we have is a good gift from God. God's gifts differ from person to person. We're called to be faithful over a little, and our faith impacts our response. Our faith impacts our response. It impacts how we respond to the little things that we've been given. Did you notice what each of their responses were? Verse 16, he who had received the five talents went at once and traded. So also, meaning he went at once as well. Even he who went with the one talent says he went and dug in the ground. They didn't wait. Even the one with the one talent went, I got to do something with this. His theology, his faith, his belief impacted his response. He didn't say, oh, I don't know what I need to do here. I have no idea. Each of them realized they needed to do something. However, what they believed impacted what they did. Verse 24, he also who had received the one talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man. What's his belief about his master? He knew he was a hard man. He reaped where he did not sow, and he gathered where he scattered no seed. So he was afraid. He had a belief about what his master was, and that belief caused him to do things. He said, well, I'm not going to do anything with this because I'm afraid that if something happens, my master might be mad at me. What was the problem? He buried it. His master was like, you could have at least gave it to the lenders and got some interest on it. In the book of Hebrews, the author writes, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. You see, our faith impacts our response. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. Our faith grows each time we respond in a manner that honors God, in a manner that honors the things that He's entrusted to us. Not saying, well, I'm going to keep that hidden. I need to tuck that away. See, there's a reward that God gives to us as we grow in our faith for Him, as we continue to use the gifts that He's entrusted to us. God blesses us. Let me give you an example of this. There are times in my life when God places a need on my heart. Sometimes this is a monetary need. Sometimes it's in different ways. I've told you guys many of the different stories about stopping for people on the side of the road and all sorts of things. But sometimes it's a monetary thing. And so God places this on my heart and I do something about it. Whether that's providing something for a family or giving them money, whatever it is. And then a weird thing happens sometimes. Sometimes I go to the mailbox and I open the mailbox and I get a card or something random. And there'll be a gift card in there. Or there'll be a check in there. Or there'll be something in there and I go, whoa. This is weird. Okay, I did this and then I got this unexpectedly. Why am I shocked by that? Our God owns it all, right? Why am I shocked that He would bless me in the midst of that? Now, I'm not saying you should go do something because God's going to give you more in return. That's not what we're called to. We're called to do things for others. The Bible calls them good works. We're just to do them wholeheartedly out of faith, out of trust in God, because He's entrusted us with what we have, and so we're supposed to take that step of faith. I'm just saying sometimes God chooses to bless in the midst of that. So how can little things make a huge impact? How does our faith grow? How do we keep growing in our spiritual walk? Finally, we will be held accountable for our choices. All three of the servants are held accountable. The first servant comes and he gives his master 5 more talents. The second servant comes and he gives his master 2 more talents. Finally, the last servant comes and all he has is the 1 talent and he's held accountable. The master says, take away from that one and give to the one who has 10. We're all held accountable for our choices. Something small can be turned into something big. It can make a huge impact. It can help our faith grow. At times, it can help other people's faith grow. I want to put this whole parable in a perspective this morning. This whole section comes in light of a question that was asked by the disciples. It's back in actually Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. If you have a red letter Bible like I do, after they ask this question, Jesus does a lot of teaching. It's after this question, verse 4, that Jesus answers, and he goes from chapter 24 into chapter 25. And all of chapter 25, Jesus is answering this question. The disciples, the question that they ask in verse 3, they came to him privately, it says, and they asked, tell us, when will these things be? What things are they talking about? Well, Jesus had been foretelling the destruction of the temple at the beginning of chapter 24. He had talked about him leaving again at the end of chapter 23. And so they're like, okay, Jesus, we're on the inside crowd here. We're your crew. We're your boys. Tell us when it's going to happen. We want you to spell it out for us. We want you to give us the details. And so Jesus starts telling them. Starts giving them insight. The beginning of chapter 25, he says, then the kingdom of heaven will be like. Jesus is giving them insight into the kingdom of heaven. Just like he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. that is the smallest of seeds, and then it can grow into this huge tree. He's giving them insight into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus talks about a master who gives talents. But he's relaying, remember, a heavenly message, or it's an earthly message with a heavenly meaning. So is the kingdom of heaven just concerned about money? Is that all the kingdom of heaven is concerned about? I see no heads nodding. No. What is the kingdom of heaven concerned about? People. The kingdom of heaven is concerned about people. What is worth more to God than anything else? People. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 says, "In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us." How much did He love us? He loved us so much that He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He was the payment for our sins. He took our place for our sins, for my sin. He took that upon Himself. God's love was exemplified through the fact that He sent His Son, to the world to die on the cross for a bunch of dirty, rotten sinners. He died for me. He died for you. Not only do I think Jesus is telling the disciples here privately, the stuff you have, it matters what you do with it. But I think He's telling them the people that you're around, whether that's your family, your friends, your coworkers, everybody, they matter to God. He has entrusted them. He's given the church, He's given His believers, He's given Christians a responsibility. He's given them communities. He's given them people that they're neighbors. People that are loved ones that need to hear about Jesus Christ. And they matter to God. We've been given a mission that matters to God. See, something small can make a big difference. What we do with the little things we've been entrusted with every day has an impact on how our own faith will grow. Saying we trust God, saying we're giving control of our lives over to God, means we're going to follow and obey His leading. We're going to follow and obey His commandments in our lives. That includes learning to love God more. That includes loving people more. That includes the Great Commission, going and making disciples. So my question this morning is, are we being good stewards with the possessions and relationships, especially the people that God's entrusted to us to multiply His kingdom? What are we doing with those things? It's the little things He's given to us that can make a huge, huge impact. So what are we doing with God, what God has given to us? Would you pray with me? God, we thank You that You entrust us with good gifts. Father, we thank You for the gifts that You've given to us, each according to His own ability. Father, we ask that you would allow us to be good stewards with the things that you've given to us. Allow us to use the resources you've given to us, but more importantly, God, help us to be examples and witnesses to those who were around. God, may our lives reflect this type of a mentality that we have a responsibility, little things that we can do that have a huge impact for your kingdom. That we would grow in relationship to you. That we would grow in relationship to other people. And God, that we would speak your truth, speak your love into others' lives. God, so we can see things like they saw in Acts chapter 2. God, revival in our hearts starts in each of our hearts individually first. And then it spreads. God, may your Spirit speak and move in our hearts and our lives. And may it impact the world for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.